I'm speaking to Marcus Ulrich, who's actually the guitar player from the progressive metal band from Germany called Lamphere. What's up today, Marcus?
Hi. Pretty late here, pretty dark, pretty cold. Good evening.
Well, let me tell you, this is an absolute pleasure being that I'm pretty much a huge fan of yours since 1996, since your first album actually came out from Lamphere, you know?
Yeah, which is really about 15, 16 years ago. Oh my God, I'm fucking old.
Wow, so you want to tell your fans actually how Lamphere got started, you know? Can you give us a brief history about that?
Yeah, I think it's very, very typical. Know my drummer, Chen, since I was about 3 years old. We were in kindergarten together, and I still know our bass player since school days, when we were 10 or 11 years old. Yeah, the same as in every band. Jen started playing drums, and I thought guitar is a bit more easy. And we had some fun jamming around, and yeah, one came to the other. We found a singer and started writing songs. So it was my first band, and it's still my only band. I never played in another band. I did an instrumental project 2 years ago, but Lamphere was the only band I ever played in. We never did any cover versions or stuff like that. Yeah, so the aim was to record maybe a demo tape, and now we're sitting here with six albums 20 years later almost.
Which is just outstanding, and it's just incredible. I mean, with your brand new album, which is actually called This Harmonic Consonance, I mean, which is your seventh full-length album, I mean, why did you guys choose that name for that album?
Why we chose the name? Yeah, pretty simple. We had a track called Disharmonic Consonance, which deals with some strange things that happen in Nuno's mind. It's a kind of health problem, and I thought it would be funny to make this little word game on disharmonic and call it disharmonic. What's right funny, if you are German, German people have no TH, so when you talk German, most of the German people are not able to pronounce the TH. They say always de. Yeah, because TH simply doesn't exist in Germany. So if you take a normal German, he wouldn't recognize a difference between this and this. It's the same when you are German. So it's a kind of funny word game we had in mind. And this harmonic consonance, yeah, it's quite funny, but it means the total opposite of the track, which is called Disharmonic Consonance, and it's the last track on the album.
That's awesome. So you want to tell me who actually designed your album cover?
Yeah, this is a French guy. His name is Chris, and it's Midnight Artworks. And I didn't know him, but I bought the last Star One album by Arjen Lucassen, who does the Arjen stuff. And when I saw the booklet, I was pretty impressed, because I like the colors and I like the motifs in the booklet, and so I simply looked who did this artwork, and yeah, it was Chris. Everybody in the band liked his work, and so I wrote him a mail if he would be interested to do our new artwork. He was. He already knew us, which is quite funny. And yeah, I'm quite satisfied. To be honest, it's the first time I am satisfied with an album artwork. I think, yeah, the sixth album and the first one I'm pretty happy with.
Wow, that's pretty killer. I mean, it's definitely an amazing artwork cover, I've got to say that.
Yeah, it's not so cliche, it's more a kind of subtle. It doesn't look like a typical metal cover, but I hope we don't play typical metal stuff, so maybe it fits. I think it fits pretty good to the music, to the lyrics. Yeah, like it.
So how long did this CD take to make, start to finish, recording-wise?
Also a bit difficult. We started in September 2010. I wrote most of the songs already 2 or 3 months after the last album was released in 2009. And then we started with a recording session in September 2010 with the drums. I recorded the guitars, and we recorded the bass in my home studio in October, November. Keyboards also, and when Nuno started after 2 or 3 songs, he had some serious health issues. This already started in 2008. A very, very, very bad situation, because it wasn't just the flu or something like that. It's a special a bit difficult to tell you in English, because I already don't know in German. He's not able, or his body is not able, to produce antibodies. Nobody knew what he in fact had. So the problem was he simply couldn't record the album, and we had a stop of 5 or 6 months. He was better then, and then he finished the album, in February, March 2011. So we had a big break. We weren't able to do any gigs, to do anything, but of course we waited for Nuno, because he's the singer we always wanted to have in the band, so there was no decision to find another singer. And thank God, or thank whatever, he's doing much better now. He finished the stuff, but it took almost a year to record then. And after we finished the album, it took another year to find a suitable label. So it's not that we are that lazy. I mean, we are definitely lazy, but not that lazy.
Well, you guys are definitely, an amazing band, which I've been waiting to hear, this new album for a long time, so I'm glad you guys put it out. But getting on to the next question, can you tell me how your writing process is done? Where do you get your inspiration for all your songs?
That's could be very difficult and very different. I'm a big music fan. I'm not one of those guys who makes music and only listens to 3 or 4 bands. I'm a real music junkie. I have about 5,000 CDs here at home. I collect CDs since I was 12 years old. I listen to all kinds of music. I listen to pop, rock, prog. I listen to normal metal, speed, thrash, death metal. I listen to AOR, jazz. I like almost every kind of music, maybe except for rhythm and blues, techno, and stuff, or hip-hop. But I would say handmade music is my thing, and I like almost everything. And if you listen to lots of different music, you have more influences. I know most of the guys tell you something else. I don't listen to anything because I don't want to get inspirated. I listen to everything. And of course, I'm also a big movie fan. I think everything can inspire me. Maybe I can say art inspires me, landscapes, anything. Sometimes you have some ideas while you sleep. Sometimes while you're on the toilet. So anything can happen. It's art. There's always something swirling around in my head. My head is full of music, and it's no problem. But when I work, I have something in my head, music swirling around when I eat. So it's always something you have to let out, I would say. Not that easy to explain, because when you are creative, this is something special. Maybe sometimes it's a bit difficult, and sometimes you can say it's also a permanent condition of inspiration or creative process.
So who exactly, you know, are your musical influences for you? I mean, you have to definitely have idols.
I never was the kind of guy who said, this is my idol. I was also and always a music fan and had no special idols who I wanted to be. I was always in the music, but far too many. I mean, guitar-wise, I always was a big Mike Oldfield fan, the British guy who released Tubular Bells and all those stuff in the 70s. But when it comes to metal, more anything. I grew up with bands like the Crimson Glory, Titan Force, Jack Panzer, or the Bay Area thrash things, Heathen, Forbidden, bands as Agent Steel, anything. Yeah. Fifth Angel, Heir Apparent, all those US bands were a big influence. Of course, also some German stuff like early Halloween or early Blind Guardian. I really have to say early Blind Guardian. I'm not in this symphonic stuff. I don't like those symphonic stuff. I mean, choose to listen to opera or metal, but not both at the same time. For me, this is nothing. Anything in metal was a kind of influence. I think guitar-wise, it always was more the U.S. scene. Guitarists from the States. Maybe my all-time favorite guitarist in metal was, in fact, Mark Reale from Riot, who died two months ago. A great loss and a very, very extremely underrated guitarist. One of the best, maybe the best for me, maybe the best heavy metal guitar player.
I have to agree with you on that. I mean, I was a huge Mark Reale fan, so it was, you know, pretty much a shame when he passed away.
Yeah, nobody recognized it. I mean, when Dio died, which of course was a great loss, everybody talked about it 1 year, and Mark Reale died, and yeah. Well, the guitar player in Riot, though, he's dead. Sad. Sometimes it's pretty sad, but nobody or almost nobody knew what he really invented. I mean, Riot more or less invented speed metal. Nobody played that fast in 1977 when they recorded their first album. It was a huge influence for me, or the Thundersteel, Privilege of Power era, late 80s, I mean. But he always, the great stuff, he also recorded the Westworld thing with a TNT singer.
Mm-hmm.
Great musician, sad, very sad.
I have to agree with you on that. I mean, I was a huge fan of his as well. So let's get back into your album, which is, you know, this Harmonic Consonance. I mean, what is actually your favorite song to play guitar on this album?
My favorite song, guitar-wise, I would say the opening track, Colors of Chaos, because it's very aggressive, and it's very aggressive at the beginning, and the most interesting thing in the song is there's a break in the midst where I don't have to play the guitar and can drink beer for 30 or 35 seconds.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's important life. Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, the singer has some breaks, but you always have to play guitar, and so you have to be clever and make some breaks where you don't play anything, and you say, okay, bass player, drummer, and keyboarder, that's your part. I have to drink beer now.
That's totally killer. I mean, not to mention beer, but I am half German, so...
Okay.
So, back my ancestors, so I do love a couple bit of, you know, German beers such as, you know, Hackerschor or Warsteiner, so I'm definitely feeling you on that one.
But they're much better.
Well, off the record, you're going to have to tell me so I can try to find them.
Yeah, no, I'm here in southern Germany, next to Bavaria. I don't live in Bavaria, but if you ever come to Bavaria, they have the best beer there. Some very, very small breweries, they don't sell large amounts of beer, but maybe there's a little village and they only brew for the village. And when you come to Bavaria, you really have to visit some of those small breweries, and you can get totally wasted, of course.
Nice! So what exactly is your musical background? I mean, how did it all get started for you?
I think when I was a kid, my parents didn't listen to music at all. I think they had some old German Schlager stuff, which you don't know and which you surely don't want to know. I think the first band I really listened to more deep. And you think I say Kiss. No, I don't say Kiss. I say ABBA.
ABBA?
ABBA, yeah. The Swedish pop group. And the funny thing is, this is, in fact, my favorite band of all time. Because, I don't know. a childhood experience. I think this is just the perfect music. When you look at the arrangements, they were simply perfect. I mean, it's pop music, but it can't get better. And this was about 35 years ago. And when you listen to their albums, they still sound as they have been produced yesterday. This was really a big influence. When you listen to our vocal melodies or some little things, pretty inspired by the pop scene also of the 80s. So in fact, ABBA was really the first thing I listened to. And the first rock or metal stuff was, of course, then in the mid 80s I listened to Van Halen, and then suddenly there were Metallica or Maiden, Priest, the usual stuff. But when I was about 14, 15 years, I already was in the underground scene and started to listen to bands not everybody knew. I listened then to Overkill, and I listened to the Death Angel or Power Mad. This was around 88, 89. And then some obscure shit as Manila Road.
Oh my god.
Like that.
You're listening,
yeah.
You're listening bands I know who they are, actually.
I really know anything. I'm a junkie.
That's killer. We have the same musical taste, Mark. This rules. Well.
I really can't name one influence. It's almost impossible. I know that many bands say, you make an interview with a band and ask them what are your influences, and they always say the same. Kiss, Metallica, Maiden, Priest. And what do you listen, what else do you listen to? I don't want to get influenced by other stuff. I only listen to my own music. Wow, thank you.
No,
you listen to your own music, but you want people to buy your stuff. Yeah, thank you and good night.
That rules. So, speaking about, Landfear, I mean, are you guys going to be touring on this album?
I don't know. I still don't know.
On.
The thing is, we all have our daily jobs, and it's not that easy nowadays. You really have to pay if you want to go on tour. This is pretty expensive. I mean, most of us have family daily jobs, so a real tour is more or less impossible. Maybe for a week, maybe some weekend shows, or 3 to 4 gigs in a row. In Germany, you have the problem that there are so many festivals that club gigs are more or less dead. If you
right.
play a club show there, nobody is in the audience, because you have so many festivals, festivals with 20, 30, 50, 100,000 persons, and all bands play there. So there's no need to visit them when they do a club show. A pretty sad thing,
right.
I think. Yeah.
But you're actually playing Prog Power this year. Come on.
Yeah, this is not a sad thing.
Oh.
Yeah, we extremely look forward to that. I book my flight tomorrow. And yeah, this is something really, really special. And this is something special in the whole Landfear history. First time ever in the States. And we really look forward to that.
I want to come see you guys. You are one of... You know, one of the people I actually want to go see, so hopefully I can go there to see you. That would be actually a dream come true, to see Landfear. Speaking about Prog Power, there is you. There is the German band Mystic Prophecy. I mean, you got Symphony X, you have Solution 45. How can it get any better? This Prog Power you're going to be on is just incredible. I mean, do you have any thoughts or feelings about that?
Yeah, the thing is, here in Germany, a billing like that would be nothing special. This is a funny thing. If you take this line up and this line up would play in Germany, would have maybe about 500 or 600 people, because so many bands play here, so many festivals. This is pretty sad, because most Americans think that we live in a kind of metal paradise here. Yeah, maybe, because every band plays here, but it's too many festivals. And this is very sad, because, of course, this lineup is a hell of a lineup. But in Germany, this kind of music isn't that big. So most of the guys listen to Hoopa metal or Viking stuff or, I don't know, metalcore. I think it's something similar in the States. This kind of music also isn't that big. But Prog Power is more or less the only festival with bands like that. And in Germany there are 10, 12, 15, 20 festivals a year with similar bands.
Well, you're definitely in for a huge treat, because I actually have been to Prog Power, so... All of us people that are actually into Prog Power in the United States are dedicated fans, I will tell you that.
Yeah, and this is the thing I really look forward to, because when you play here, I mean, most of the audience is here to drink, have fun, which is nothing wrong, but it's something special for us to really play for a dedicated audience who is in fact there to see the bands. And this is something we're totally looking forward to that. And every German band I talked to who already played at Prog Power, they were when I would say they were crazy or inspired, This wouldn't be enough. It would be an understatement, because I talked to Dreamscape, who played two times the Prog Power, and they were overwhelmed. They said this was the best weekend in our lives. So maybe we also have the best weekend in our lives in September. We hope so.
Well, that's definitely cool. I mean, I hope I'm going to actually see you at Prog Power, depending upon, you know, how much tickets are. But I have something in the works, I hope. But getting on with, your label, how is it actually working with, Pure Legend Records for this album?
Pretty nice. They are very, very nice guys. They are music fans. which is you don't have music fans that often you work with the label. And they really stand behind us. So they wanted to sign us. And when we released the album, I talked to the label boss almost every day. They were also at our release party. We had a release party in February. They live about 400-500 miles away from us. Both label guys were there to support us when we did the release show. And I really can tell you this is nothing which every label does for their bands. I mean, they're not that big, but that's not important to us. We really want to release an album. Of course, there has to be a distribution, yeah. But I think it's more important that the people in the label really like the bands they sign. And most of the labels aren't really interested in the music. They are only interested in sales. And if you don't sell enough, they drop you. So it's not that easy as it was maybe in the 80s when you released two or three albums and a label started to build the band up. Nowadays you sign to a label and when you don't sell enough, you're dropped. We didn't have that luck because our last album went bankrupt. They released our album and then they were gone. Locomotive Records don't exist anymore. Spanish label. I don't know. We never saw any royalties or anything. They released X to the Power of 10. We did some interviews and then they were gone. Our last album simply didn't happen. We had no distributor in the States, nothing. So there really were some people who said, okay, you have a new album out and you haven't released an album for 6 years now. And I said, what? And we released an album three and a half years ago. Really? I don't know. Nobody should realize that.
I mean, I have to say, like, you know, I was telling you before we began that, you know, X to the Power of 10 was actually a masterpiece. I mean, just let alone just that song, Synoptogenesis, I mean, wow. That's all I got to say is, oh my God, wow, you know?
Yeah, you think we have to play Synoptogenesis live?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, okay, because we really talked about that.
Really?
Yeah, it's fun to play live, but when it gets doomy in the middle part, most of the people when we play live seem to not really understand what we do. So we really talked about to drop it maybe and don't play it Brock Power, but if you tell me we should play it, then of course we play it, yeah.
It's definitely a killer song. I mean, I have to say that, like I've been telling you, that X to the Power of 10 happens to be, you know, one of my favorite albums from you guys since I know you since 96, and once I heard that album, you know I have all your other albums. I have your oldest copy by chance, like I told you, but I mean, I heard X to the Power of 10, and I was just like, what? Where'd this come from, you know? It's just outstanding. Especially, you know, the, you know, other songs, you know, Enter Dystopia is just incredible, too.
Yeah. The funny thing is that it wasn't planned as an opener. Made up my mind about which is the opening track of an album, and I wrote Seeds of the Blake, the last song, and this was planned to be the opener, but it really didn't fit, because I still think this is maybe the best song on the album, but it didn't fit that good as an opening track, so we created in about 10 or 12 minutes and a kind of intro, and then decided to put it before Angela Dystopia. So it wasn't even planned as an opening track. To me, it's maybe not the best song on the album, but people like it, yeah.
So how do you actually feel about, you know, internet radio? Do you have any thoughts or feelings about that?
Sorry?
Do you have any thoughts or feelings about internet radio?
Yeah, of course. Very, very good thing. It's a really growing scene, I think. It's interesting that people still are interested what's really up in the scene, and this is a very important thing for us, so that maybe some people who would never listen to an album of us to really listen in fact to that. And we also have great reactions from people who say, hey, I never heard of your band, I didn't even know the name, but I heard a track here and there, and he or she played that or this or that song from that album, and you really, I think this is something which will be even bigger in the future.
It definitely is. I mean, I've broadened a lot of people's horizons on Metal Messiah Radio on the band Landfear. They're like, who is this band? I'm like, Landfear. They're like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the thing I wanted to say. For me, it was never the thing to discover them, because I read lots of magazines or websites, but there are lots of people who, they're not interested in reading anything. They just want to listen to music, and so they have the chance to really get to know more bands or similar bands to their style they prefer. I think this is something which is even more important in the future.
So how do you feel about people actually downloading your music on the internet?
Yes, I think it's great. I think every musician gives the same answer. Of course, this isn't that nice, and the thing is, some people, when we released the album 2 days later, you could listen to the whole album on YouTube. The funny thing is, those people maybe wanted to support us. I made it with one of those guys, and I wrote them and Dale and funny thing, I wrote this song, and I don't know if you bought it, but you give it to the masses without asking me or the label. How do you feel about that? And he wrote me, sorry, I didn't think about that. I wanted to support you because I like your music. So maybe the thing is, the younger people aren't really aware that they can destroy a band in doing such things. But what should I say? I mean, it's not possible to stop it, and nobody will stop it, so we have to live with it. We don't make money with our music. We never made money with our music. And we will never make money with our music. But, it's important for us to sell some CDs, to sell merchandise, and if everybody downloads it, there will be a problem to produce an album, because to produce an album costs money. We have our own home studios. It's more easy for us, because we just need to record drums and vocals in another studio, but bands who are simply not able to record it more or less at home, they really have problems. And then people sometimes they come up and say, "Wow, the new production sucks." Yeah, why does it suck? Because bands don't have money to produce it. That's the problem.
Very true. So, speaking about merchandise, I mean, I've been on your site, but there are t-shirts available as well, aren't there? As well as also your back catalog of your CDs.
Yeah. I don't like this typical t-shirts with the album artwork, so We changed it a little bit. It looks more trendy. And yeah, but of course we always have merch of the coming album. I think it's important to have shirts for a new album, and fans really wanted to buy that and ask for that. I don't know how, but we also play, when we play a proper, we will bring some merch with us. Don't know how we do that. But we have to make up our mind how we can bring as many t-shirts as possible with us. Maybe we all wear them on our own. So nobody recognizes that there are lots of CDs and shirts in our suitcases.
Just sneak them into the United States, you know? So how do you actually feel about the power metal or the progressive metal scene as a whole to like today and to like years ago? Do you think it like changed? Do you think it got better? Do you think it got worse?
The problem is, ask the question, is there a scene? I don't know. In Germany, there's not really a power or progressive metal scene. The thing is, most of the people don't even know how to define power metal. What's power metal for you? When I grew up, power metal were bands as Hellstar, Armored Saint, Vicious Rumors. This was power metal, and suddenly, 10 years ago, people started to call Freedom Call power metal, or Stratovarius power metal. I think this has nothing to do with power metal, as I know power metal. So what do you mean with power metal? The more melodic stuff, there isn't really a scene over here. No, not really. Progressive metal? I don't know. Most people know Symphony X, and they know Dream Theater, and they know nothing else. So I wouldn't call that a scene, at least not in Germany.
Wow. That's pretty strange. I mean, the market is totally flooded with bands now.
Yeah, but that's pretty strange, but it's pretty true. I know that anybody tells you something different, and they say, yeah, it's a cool scene, you know some bands, and blah, blah, blah. But to be honest, there is no scene. If you make a tour here in Germany with some prog power metal bands and not Dream Theater or Symphony X, if you choose maybe some bigger bands, take Fate Warning or something like that, and there will be about 100 people, 120, 150, definitely not more. So, yeah, is this a scene? I don't know. Some people, but not more. It's not easy. I mean, we recorded a new album, and we want to play gigs. We wanted to do some warm-up gigs before heading to Prog Power. Yeah, there are no gigs. I wait for that, but there are no gigs. There are German festivals. The same bands play on every festival. I asked some guys of this festival, hey, we have a new album. We are album of the month here and there. We got this 9 out of 10 and there, points here. Let us play on your festival. I mean, we recorded 6 albums. Maybe next year. No, that is not no scene for me, to be honest.
Totally understand that. So what actually has been, you know, Landfear's biggest challenge?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, no. You have to have one, you know?
challenge. the biggest challenge until now, or
any challenge at all?
A challenge at all. To rehearse. No, I would say it's a constant challenge.
Wow.
And it has to be a constant challenge to play the band if you want to evolve. This is a constant challenge for me. So it's nothing, I would say, this is one single thing which is a challenge. No, daily life is a challenge. Thank you, it's a challenge. To play in this band is a challenge. No, it's a burden.
No, come on, Lanphier is definitely underrated.
Yeah, but we changed it already. We had this funny slogan, 100% underrated, because we had that great, those great reviews everywhere, changed it to 99.71% underrated. On the homepage.
Wow. So, who would you like to put on a bill with Lanphier as a dream tour?
ABBA?
ABBA, come on.
ABBA or... Oh, yeah, this is also a question I really can't say. I mean, to become famous, of course, we have to play with Dream Theater. To have fun, we have to play with our friends in Eternal Rain, also a great German band. Lots of bands, I don't know. Well, what do you mean? Kind of musical-wise?
Yeah, I mean, any band at all. I mean, name your ultimate bill. Who would you love to play with?
Oh, my God. The funny thing is, when it is the ultimate bill, I don't want to play with them because I want to be in the audience and watch them. Yeah? So, I think... one of the most interesting bills is the Keep It True. Next month here, 50 miles away, John Arch with Fate's Warning.
That's an awesome album, I gotta say that.
Yeah, and he plays or he sings all the old Fate's Warning stuff, Awaken the Guardian and all this shit. Yeah, this is a kind of really big influence, the early Fate's Warning stuff. Psychotic Waltz, great band who was in fact a big influence for me. The German band Secrecy, do you know Secrecy?
Of course I do. And I know Eternal Rain also.
Ah, okay. Nick is one of my best friends, the guitar player. We talk every day.
Cool.
Yeah, he lives in Bremen about 300-400 miles away from me, but he visits me once or twice a year. Funny guy. We have some beers. He also visits me next month, and we go to the Keep It True to watch Fate's Warning, to watch Psychotic Waltz. Always a great happening with lots of beers, lots of fun, and lots of music. Yeah.
So is Lanphier going to be recording another album? I mean, do you guys have any new songs written for it?
No, in fact, as I already told you, I also have an instrumental project.
Really?
Yeah, this is called A Cosmic Trail. This is something I always wanted to do, and when we had this long break because of numerous health issues, started to write an album, and I released the album in 2010, and it's a complete instrumental album, and it's not one of those guitar shredding things. It's a mixture of all my influences. It's a bit Mike Oldfield, it's a bit prog rock and prog metal, lots of melody, only one solo, 50 minutes, and I did it with Alex Palmer, who also played in Lanphier on the first album, and our keyboarder, and this was something very special. I got great reviews. It was fantastic. Totally sold out anything. I did it on my own, I have to say. And so I now work on the second instrumental album, and after that I will be writing new Lanphier songs. I mean, I have the opening track for the next album is already in my head, but I have to let it out, so I'll finish songwriting and recording to my second instrumental album, and after that I will definitely write the next Landfear album. So hopefully it won't take another 3 or 4 years. 2 years would be good.
No, we need another
album. This is a challenge.
we need another album sooner than that, Marcus. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, two years is a challenge. This is the biggest challenge in Landfear, to release an album after 2 years. Now you have it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been waiting since X to the Power of 10 for you guys, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty long. If I knew that, I have it on my computer since March 2011, I could have sent it to you.
Well, I didn't know you back then, so here you go. But what do you like to do whenever you're not, you know, playing? I mean, do you have any hobbies?
I mean, this is more or less my hobby. To listen to music, to record music. I'm a big movie fan. I read maybe 10 books in a month.
Wow.
So there's not much time left. Of course, I hang out with some friends, but music, books and movies, that's my thing, more or less. So and this is also very interesting, where we get inspirations from, and find new friends who are also interested in. I don't watch the typical Hollywood blockbusters or something like that. I'm really into more obscure and rare movies. I'm a constant reader. I read anything, everything, and the Amazon Kindle is the best invention of all time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Kindle.
Yeah, the Kindle is fantastic.
Maybe you should write a song about the Kindle for
me. Yeah, the Kindle. the MP3 version of book.
There you go, progressive Kindle. Kindle.
The funny thing is, if you say Kindle in German, is a Bavarian expression for child.
Wow.
Yeah. Kindle.
Nice. So, what kind of guitar equipment do you actually use? I mean, you can name your gear on here for all the gearheads that do listen to my show.
Interesting. I play Infect, the Fractal Audio XFX. You could say a guitar modeler, but you can't compare it to any Line 6 products on the market. This is, in fact, the best piece of guitar equipment I ever played. And the funny thing is, it's only 2.5 pounds, so I can bring it with me when we play a prop power. This is something I am able to record with, and I'm able to play it live. So the Fractal Audio XFX is Dream Theater's D-Fly. They all play that in the meantime. You can simulate caps with it. You have effects. This is unbelievable, an unbelievable piece of gear. And guitar-wise, I play a Gibson Les Paul for 2-3 years. I had a Schecter endorsement. I'm a little gear chunky, but since this Fractal Audio thingy was released, it had changed. I was a big Engel fan of the German amp Engel, and I wanted to have an endorsement deal with them, but they weren't interested, and so I looked for something else and found Fractal Audio, which is very, very dynamic, and nobody believes it's a modeler. And we also recorded the album with it, and I also recorded the new Ivanhoe disc. The guitarist of Ivanhoe was totally shocked when we tried out some sounds here. They have the best guitar sound they ever had on this album, and I am responsible for that.
That's killer. Can fans actually get in touch with you? I mean, is Landfear available to be contacted?
They can go on the official page. I'm not online on. I think on MySpace site. Isn't really interesting anymore, but on Facebook they can contact us directly. I'm online every day, so if they want just to drop us a message, just Facebook is maybe the fastest thing. No problem. We definitely reply if somebody drops us a mail or has any question or wants to know something. We're pretty down to earth guys and we don't make money with music, so we still appreciate when there are some fans.
So did I leave anything out during this Landfear interview that fans should know about?
Yeah, that we are 99.71% still underrated.
That's just like saying 16-6 about Primal Fear, right?
No, that's nothing they should know. It's better to not know that much about us. No, joking, just, listen to the albums, listen to the songs. I think that's the most important thing, not how bad my English is, because it's a bit rusty. I'm not used to talking English, so that's a problem for me right now. You always have to search for words here. They should listen to our music, read our lyrics, and if they have any questions, they can contact me on Facebook or the rest is not able to answer because they don't know how to write emails. I'm the chief of
no.
Of course. The rest of the guys also sometimes are allowed to answer emails. Oh my god, if they listen to the interview, they kill me.
Nice. Well, and stick around, Marcus, because I'm about to close out the interview, but this is DJ Sin signing out, Metal Messiah Radio, with Marcus of Landfear.